What's up, everybody? We're back. It's Afternoon Delight. Another episode of it, dadgummit. It's Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor. Sorry about yesterday. We had some scheduling conflicts. The practice deal really messes us up, which I'm appreciative. I'm very appreciative of going to practice. Really messes up our schedule. But
practice, and my wife got a new ride, and I also, it's political season here, so I have to meet with all these politicians at bad times because you can only meet when they want to meet.
Some of the political ads are incredible. We're not going to repeat.
Fire.
There's one in particular I had to pull over. I was laughing so hard. It was really good. Anyway, breaking news, which we rarely get to do on this show. Hey, we got another 7-foot big man coming in.
This is wild.
Hey, 2 7-footers. We actually, for the time being, we have 3 7-footers on the team. As Auburn signs Bucky Oboye.
Yep.
I assume that's how you say it.
We'll get that momentarily. Yeah,
the Bucky part seems pretty simple. It's B-U-K-K-Y. Like that there, that can't be any other. B-U-K-K-Y.
Yeah, I couldn't.
It's got to be Bucky, right? Okay. And then O-B-O-Y-E. Oboye. It's either Oboye or Oboye or Oboye, right?
I'm going to go with Oboye.
Oboye? That's what I said, wasn't it?
I'm going to stay with the French connection that we got going on today.
I don't think that's French, but Bucky Oboye. We're going with that.
Oboye is either French or French Canadian or Cajun. One of the three.
You don't think it could be like African? I mean, I don't know. No. Okay. Well, regardless.
Got the Auburn, A at the end.
E at the end, though.
I know, but I'm saying they say the E like A, the French do.
We don't know what they say, how they say it. And that's a conversation we had before we got on. We don't know. We're getting conflicting information on how you pronounce these names. For this exercise, his name's Bucky Oboye until we're told anything different. But 7'1", 220 pounds from Santa Clara.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you had listened to some of the, I guess, Santa Clara folks talking about how they expected this guy to end up at Auburn. That was really –
it's like media people around – anytime we – and not that anybody can't do this, but anytime we start looking at a player, you hear about – you know, when you see something that comes across, whether it's social media or whether it's, and whether it's the barn or whatever, and it's like, so-and-so is down to 4 schools.
Yeah.
Well, I see where they're at, and I immediately start going and following the media people around that program because the media people around that program, just like the media people around the Auburn program, will say, well, they got a strong interest in this, or they have a strong interest in that, or they've had a great visit with – because those guys develop relationships with players just like we develop relationships with players. So I immediately start going and following those folks, and I don't even know who they are because I don't follow Santa Clara basketball. So when I started, you know, Googling people that write for Santa Clara and immediately started following, and Stephen Pearl's kind of been in his pocket for the last probably month, like where because he announced – he was one of those that announced he was going to enter the portal – like prior to the season ending. So
one of the hardest things to do in the portal, I feel like, is once you get the starter, finding someone to come in and play behind that person. You know what I mean? Like that is just so hard because guys are going into the portal for one of two reasons. They're either looking for a check or they're looking for more playing time. Like, and that's it.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes it's a coaching change, but for the most part, they're looking for a check or they're looking for a – they're looking for more playing time. And, like, I kind of feel like Narcisse is your number one. That's the guy that they're planning to kind of be, you know, their starter, the guy that played the majority of the minutes. And we'll talk about him in a minute. But Bucky played roughly 17 minutes a game, 17, 18 minutes a game at Santa Clara.
I mean, it's what he's doing.
What's that?
He's basically playing a whole half of basketball. He's playing –
yeah.
So, I mean, it's a good – I think that's a good, I don't know, 55-45 split if you're looking at the two of them sharing that position.
averaged almost 8 points and four rebounds in those 7 minutes, which is, you know, pretty solid. He's a sophomore too, maybe going to be a junior, so maybe you get him for 2 years.
Yep.
Looks like he's played. Hold on.
Kyle, the thing that I like about stuff like this, and you talked about whether it be a check or it's playing time. Mm-hmm. I don't think playing time was an issue for him because, I mean, when you're a seven-footer, you're probably not going to see much more than about 20 minutes anyway, just due to you're going to get winded. But you clearly saw, and this needs to be the sales pitch for every coach that's out there trying to recruit players out of the portal. You see what Michigan did this past year and how they went on a run. I mean, he brought in everybody, and he basically said he sold them on the fact that we've got 9 to 10 starters. And you're going to see 20 minutes a game because we want to be fresh at the end of the game. And if you will buy into that system, I'm going to bring you a national championship. And that's exactly what he did at Michigan. Yeah. And every one of those players bought into the fact that they had 9 to 10 starters. You know, even though your name's not called out in the starting lineup, if you can get them to buy into the fact that they're going to see just as many minutes as the starters do, then you top that with a check. Yeah. I mean, that's a no-brainer when it comes to recruiting. So I hope that I'm assuming that's kind of the pitch that this staff is doing with players where they go, well, am I going to start? No, but you're going to see just as many minutes as the starter does. There's some games your name may be on the starting lineup, depending on rotation, but then there's some games you may not be. So
yeah,
if they can buy into that, I think there's a place for especially players like this. I mean, having two guys 7-1 on the roster.
And that's kind of where I was going. That's kind of where I wanted to go with this. I mean, last year the gripe was size. Like, we're not necessarily a gripe, but like everybody was concerned. Everybody was concerned, like, why are we so small? Like, why didn't we go get another big man? Why didn't we do this? And it's tough. Again, it's tough once you get your first guy in to go convince somebody else. Like you said, it's a tougher pitch to get somebody to come in and not be the starter. Now, I'm sure these two dudes will battle it out. I feel like probably Narcisse has the edge just because he's bigger. He's probably going to be more readily built to play in the SEC and kind of bang around in the SEC. But to go from your tallest guy being, what, 6'10"? Was that – or 6'9 or 6'10"? Was how tall –
6'9".
Murphy
listed as 6'10", but 6'9".
Yeah. To now you got 2 7-footers. Well, I guess technically 3 because Emeka is still technically on the roster. I wonder if this signals anything for him as far as maybe his health or like his future moving forward, or is it just we're going to get another 7-footer no matter what?
I think with the history of big men under the Pearl administration, even though you got to go back to Bruce, I mean, with Walker and some of the things that he's done with big men, I think he kind of relishes that role. He likes to have a big man. I think they expect a little more out of Emeka, but due to injuries, couldn't see him on the floor that much this year. And I think that definitely hurt Auburn. So maybe that's what Steven's learning from a bad experience this past year where, hey, we had one dude. He got injured, so then we got stuck without one. So let's go get two, put our focus on that so we can have a good rotation going between the two of them and let them play 50% of the game and get the minutes. Because, you know, Ngoy, when you talk about Narcisse, you mentioned his size and how much bigger he is and how he can bang bodies down low. Well, that also wears on a big guy too. So you need another guy as a filler position now. You mentioned Emeka. Yeah. What does that do for his future? I don't know. Is there room for 3 7-footers on the squad? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
One of them's going to have to play more 4 than 5, probably.
None of these guys are playing 4.
See?
These are all 5. These are all 5. So, it may signal, you know, something with Emeka, but regardless. You flipped the script there, and you went from – you're going to go from maybe one of the smaller teams to, I mean, potentially one of the longer teams in the SEC. We had a pronunciation discussion before we got on here, and I want to talk about that because that's fun. here in just a second. Then we'll talk about like the rest of the basketball roster and whatnot. As this thing shakes out, I think this is going to be a pretty important weekend. Before we do that, hey, buy Auburn. Go to buyauburn.com. If you're an Auburn business owner, you need to be on here. You need to list your business because we're connecting you with tons of Auburn fans. If you're going to spend money, why not start with Auburn people? Again, it's if you're going to be part of the Auburn family, you say you love the Auburn family, then do business with them. Go to buyauburn.com today and have some fun. We got up to, I think we're over 20 businesses now. So that's going to keep growing. So jump in there. And then AUShirts.com, if you want, like the stuff, sayings and gear from all the different shows, you know where to get the – you know where to get the gear. Go to AUShirts.com today. Ben, we talked about this before we got on, and I'm not going to call anybody out, but Cease, okay? And then last name to be pronounced here shortly, okay? I was told from a very, very solid source that the pronunciation – I'm talking about, I would assume this would be like the most solid source you could have for basketball and pronunciations. Anyway, you pronounce it Noy, okay?
Don't like N-O-Y, Noy.
N-O-Y. You don't say the G, Narcisse Noy.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I've been rolling with.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you just dropped the whole bomb on me just a second ago, and I question reality.
Well, I told Kyle, so there's a cheat code when you do play-by-play. Mm-hmm. And when you never can trust the sports information people, you never can trust the pronunciation guide. So you go and you pull up YouTube videos to see what other people are saying about a player. Yeah. So I pulled up about four different games with Narcisse playing in them and listened to the play-by-play guy.
Yeah. All French.
All French, but he clearly says Narcisse Ngoy.
Ngoy, he does. I listen to it.
He puts the G in there. Now,
and it's more like the last name is spelled Ingoy, like Ngoy. That's kind of how he pronounced it. And I listened to it in my own ears, and now I don't know what to do.
Now Kyle doesn't know what to call him, and now this could be a French thing. I don't know. Kyle and I were talking. I said it because he clearly says Narcisse Ngoy.
Narcisse Ngoy. I struggle with my French accent. Because I typically always default to Spanish. So to get through of it, I think of the candlestick from Beauty and the Beast. And then I can kind of – I got a young daughter.
Tell me who has young kids on this pod and who doesn't.
I think of the – I got a young daughter. I think of the candlestick from Beauty and the Beast. Hey, by the way, fun fact. That's the first movie I ever saw in the theater.
Beauty and the Beast.
So when did that come out?
Mine was Superman. So mine was a little more manly than yours.
Yeah, I know. Beauty and the Beast, when did the first one come out? 1991. So I was 5 years old.
Yeah,
that was the first movie I ever saw. I never will forget that. I don't know why, but anyway, I go back to the candlestick to do a French accent.
So I'm going with the French play-by-play guy who may be off his rocker for all I know. I don't know, the guy could be drunk over there in France, but he goes with Narcisse Ngoy.
Yeah, that was it.
I'm gonna go with Ngoy until I meet Narcisse and I say, hey, bro, how do you say your last name?
We have a controversy here. We need you to settle it. Can you tell us how to say it?
There's a big issue going on around the Auburn world about your last name that's only freaking four letters and we can't figure it out because we're getting conflicting reports. So I'm going to go. I've been saying on my show, Ngoy.
You're probably right.
That's what I got from the play-by-play guy. But you have a very credible source that has helped us out before. And I hope that he's a friend of the program and listens to this and second guesses himself and says, maybe I need to do a little more research on this.
So funny. So Narcisse, again, averaged last year 10 and 11.
10 and 11.
And 2.5 blocks per game. I think he led that league in blocks per game. You got Bucky with, in limited minutes. I say limited, half, playing essentially a half, and he's scoring 8 and 4, which is pretty solid even for only playing, I take that for over, you know, a 30-plus minute stretch.
Well, I don't even know Santa Clara's system, you know, with Auburn doing their high-low with the guards and the, and their big men. I mean, he may relish in this particular system as compared to Santa Clara's. For all, I mean, he may have just been supposed to have been a body at Santa Clara that they're chucking it from the outside and hope he gets a rebound and a putback and you know, on a smaller team like that. So getting him more involved, you may see more than 8-4. You may see, you know, 10-6, 10-8. Man, if you had two big men doing double doubles apiece, Kyle, goodness gracious. I mean, that'd be so impressive. And
I'll take a combined. Yeah. I'll take a combined double-double out of them.
Every game. Out of the two of them, that'd be awesome.
So we talked about Steven's style versus Bruce's style. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, everyone expected that, you know, Steven's coaching, I mean, it's just going to be the same thing as Bruce. It's like that's the way he's going to build the team the same way Bruce did. He's going to do everything the same way Bruce did. And I don't necessarily think that that's the case. I don't know that the brand of basketball that Steven wants to play is really, you know, 3-D, chuck it and go, run up and down. And I think he wants to play more physical, aggressive, defensive basketball. And it really seems like the theme with a lot of the guys that we're looking at is size. Like, I mean, right there, we have the two centers, and then there's several targets, you know, that Auburn's looking at that are, you know, a lot bigger.
Well, you got to look at, and I know it was Bruce's team, but when you look back at what Steven was successful with when he was successful at Tennessee, when he was a player, and what was around him, is it was the long guys that were super athletic that played really good defense, especially near the rim. Mm-hmm. And that led to transitional buckets. And I wonder if that he took on that style, whereas Bruce seemed to evolve more to a guard heavy, like you said, chuck it, let's hit some shots from the outside, let's outscore somebody. And Steven kind of stayed with that mindset of, no, I really enjoyed my time at Tennessee when I had, you know, three trees around me and we played defense and kept people out of the post. And then that led to transitional buckets to, you know, maybe to an outlet, to a quick guard heading down. So I don't foresee them having two of the same offenses. I think Steven kind of stayed, like you said, with that defensive minded shot block, grab rebound type deal. And he didn't have that due to injuries and due to some issues this past year. I think that's what he wanted with his past team, but it just didn't work out. And towards the end, he made some adjustments. You clearly saw that in NIT because they rolled off 5 wins in a row. But I think if he had his wish, I think he loves and relishes in the fact he's got 2 7-footers. And if he don't know if he's going to keep Sway or not, but if he doesn't, that sounds like he's got some in the works to bring on that could be – you know, still on top
of Sway. How tall was Sway?
In top 6'8", I think, or 6'7".
Okay, keep going.
So on top of your 2 7-footers, if Sway leaves, I think in the portal, he's still looking at some 6'10 guys, 6'9 guys at the four. So you can have, at some point, you can have, you know, minimum 2 guys down low that are 6'9 plus, if not 3, depending on rotations, because we saw what Bruce did at the end with Janai and Dylan, how that worked out, you know, positive. So I think, you know, Steven may take a page out of that book and use it that direction. So, what a long way we've come. Because when you look back at the Lebo and Barbie years, at one point in time, Auburn High had a taller starting 5 than Auburn University. That's and tough. Now Steven and Bruce, because he had Dylan and Janai, but Steven's got 2 7-footers, man. This is a different way of Auburn basketball than what we were used to, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, and, you know, there's still some targets out there that, you know, good length at that, you know, like that, like you talked about, that power forward. They're talking with, you know, Owen Freeman from Creighton. He may have been looked at more as a big man, but, I mean, he's a little bit more athletic, and he's 6'10", so that's a guy that they could still go bring in that could play, you know, a more true power forward, you know, position. You got Thomas Dowd from Troy, who's like 6'9".
Have you seen that guy play? Have you seen his tape?
Is he good?
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't watched much tape on anybody. Dwayne Aristode, who I love, from Arizona. He was a true freshman last year.
All I saw out of Creighton was their tournament play, always. Yeah. As well as, I think I watched their conference tournament just to see how they were doing. Didn't even know he was a target at the time, but I knew that guy. And then the Dow kid from Troy, like I watched them in highlights on WSFA News and stuff like that. I mean, the dude's good. And then you talked about Arizona. I mean, look at how good Arizona was this year.
And this kid didn't even get to, I mean, he didn't get to play that much, Arizona. No. They're all big, but another, you know, another 6'8 guy, Jalen Shelley from Loyola Marymount, another 6'8 guy. So like they're still looking at bringing in a lot more length to finish out that front court. So I think this weekend was kind of a big weekend, like as far as getting things, you know, getting the momentum rolling on getting, you know, commitments. Cause I think the portal
closes Tuesday.
Tuesday.
So reminder, don't freak out if Auburn does not have everybody in place by Tuesday. That just means the portal closes Tuesday.
They have to be in there. They don't have to be committed.
You can get them committed or signed later. And the reason I say that is because there are a lot of people that have already jumped online and that have asked. They're like, there's been no move. Let me tell you something. North Carolina hadn't had any movement. St. John's hadn't had any movement. Duke's looking for people. Kentucky's looking for people. Like, this is an ongoing problem where now when you get these agents involved, they're entering the portal and people aren't picking them up because the negotiation process is taking place. So give it some time. They're not going to be tipping off basketball season next Wednesday after the portal closes. So give it some time. Let the team work. Let the coaches work. And hopefully be able to make the right decisions for the people that they want. Because, again, Kyle, now you and I have talked about this. I mean, when you're talking about a basketball team too, you're talking about a closer-knit bunch than probably a football team. Because you got 100 guys out there on the football field. So some of them may not know what the other one's name is. Whereas, you know, basketball, these guys, it's a tight knit. And so you got to look also for guys that are going to fit in with your culture, with your program, with their probable teammates. Because I'll say it, first of the year, it got better as the year went on. It looked like Pettiford and Hall did not want to be on the floor with one another.
Yeah.
There were arguments. There was finger pointing. There was yelling and, you know, outbursts and stuff like that. And I know you're going to get that, but like, that's just not, you got to try to find somebody that meshes quickly, because they may just be a one and done. And if they don't mesh quickly, then they're out of here and you're starting the process all over. So, I think that's another thing he looks at and why he loves these visits and these guys making official visits and coming down and walking through the facility, because you kind of got to see how they act around one another and how, and who knows, dating back to AAU stuff, how many of them have a relationship prior that they may have played against a guy or liked a guy's game. So Todd may be able to help with some of that, since he was big into that McDonald's All-American / AAU, you know, scene, that he may know some of these guys and go, look, this guy, he's a player. Like, bring him in. Let's take a look at him. So
No doubt.
A lot of people hate the port this time of year, basketball season wise. I like it because it's going to close Tuesday. There ain't going to be another portal. You're going to be able to get your guys over the next month and month and a half, 2 months, and you'll be able to go ahead and know what you got coming into the fall when practice and summer workouts. So I'm fine with it. I like it.
Looks like you got about 4 to 5 more spots to go, depending on what Sway does. If Sway returns, you only got 4 spots. You need to get another wing to replace Freeman, unless, you know, somehow Auburn has the upset and gets him back. Obviously, Jovich is gone. You need probably some help at the 2 and another point guard. Like, there's still some work to be done. So go ahead.
I asked this the other day to a guest who didn't know the answer that was on my show. And maybe you don't have an answer. I don't know. With Sway, since he announced he was coming back, did he get somebody from Texas in his ear, since he's from Texas, that Texas or Houston or A&M or somebody like that, that said, sure, hey, man, you can come home and we've got this more dollar money to get you here?
No, it's like, yeah, I'm good with that deal. And then whenever I hear a deal from someone else, I'm like, wait, maybe I'm not so good with that deal anymore, even though I said I was good with it. So that's kind of the situation.
I just figured it was a combination of money and getting back closer to home.
Well, that Houston was after him. You know, I think that's where he's from. So we'll see what happens there. Regardless, you still got some work to do, but cool that you got sort of your front court almost all the way figured out. Got to get a couple more pieces, but man, three seven footers.
Do some research for us, guys. Is it Ingoy? Or is it Noy?
Y'all take it easy. Hey, come see us at the tailgate tomorrow on the campus green, right by the student center for A Day. I'd love to meet y'all. Shake your hand. So, guys, have a great weekend. We'll talk again soon. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.